Good morning, Antioch Church. My name is Patrick Drury. I'm the interim pastor here. So welcome. If you're a guest with us today, we're really glad that you're here to worship the Lord with us and to come together before His Word to learn and continue to grow in your faith and as we continue to grow together. I want to introduce something new this morning to you. 9:55. You have a slide up here. 9:55. You're going to start seeing that. We'll try to flag 9:55. And what we would like to do is use 9:55 as just a trigger for us. Would you pause and pray for Antioch Church at 9:55? Our worship service starts Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So on Sunday mornings, pause and pray for God to move here, for this to be a good, God-honoring experience for all of us together, 9:55. That might mean it be more effective if you come a couple minutes early, you know, and pray, or like Nate and I did, grab one another person and pray together for Antioch Church as we get started. And then just maybe make a note or a little alarm in your phone so it goes off at 9:55 and you go, you know, and you can label it, pray for Antioch. 9:55, that's going to be our moment together as a church where we just pause just for a minute and lift Antioch Church up before the Lord. So I'm going to ask you to just make a note of that, and whenever you see that or think of it, pray for Antioch Church. We've been going through a series together on prayer and looking at the Word of God. What does God's Word teach us about praying? And so we've gone through, when we went through the Sermon on the Mount, we saw Jesus teach about prayer, and we heard about the Lord's Prayer, and we've looked at some prayers were in the Old Testament right now. We looked at Psalm 51. Whew, that makes a big difference. We looked at Psalm 51 and saw David's prayer of confession. We looked at Psalm 8, and we saw a different prayer that was a praise to God. And we all know how to pray when we're thankful, right? We have a holiday for that. We don't really need to pause and figure out how to pray when we're thankful for something. But what do you do when things don't feel good? How do you pray when you're sad? How do you pray when you feel trapped? What does your prayer life look like when you lose a job or you lose a friend? How do we pray when things are really hard? Can you relate? Sometimes we feel like we're at a loss. Like, I don't know how to pray in those times. This is not where I want to be. And we struggle sometimes with how to pray when things aren't well. Today we're going to talk a little bit about that. Maybe go into some uncharted territory. Like, we know how to pray when life is great. We know how to pray when there's things that we want and need. But when we get into the depth of some of these emotions, what do we do? How does prayer work down in that area? Today we're going to learn how to lament. We're going to look at what lament is in the Bible. It's not something that we talk about a lot in church, unfortunately. I think we should. It's not something we hear a lot about as we grow in our faith. But how do you pray when we're hurting? It's so important, and it's very biblical. You know, we live in this culture that does not like suffering. We kind of have this American Western idea that pain is evil. Pain is bad, so you should get out away from it as quickly as possible. If something hurts, right? If something doesn't feel good or it hurts, then we medicate it. So the pain goes away, because pain is bad. Right? If I can't sleep, then that must mean I should take a pill and get back to sleep. And not worry, think about why. You know, if I'm grieving a loss, have you ever grieved the loss of somebody, someone died who you care about, and you go through a grieving process? You'd be surprised how often people have come to me and said, "Pastor, remind me again, what are the stages of grief?" It's like, I want to understand this pathway of grief so I can figure out where I am on it and get through it as fast as possible and get to the other side. you know, it doesn't really work that way. You kind of got to sit down in it for a while. We don't like to suffer. We have this idea. It's almost like this health and wealth gospel thing, which is a false gospel that would teach us. Suffering is always bad. There's no good in it. So just if you just have faith and work to get away from it, you'll be better off. But that's not what I read when I read the Bible. When I read the Bible, I don't see that God just weaves his people away from and around suffering. I see people who suffer with God together. And they suffer together. They help each other. Life is hard. I read about this guy named Job. Remember Job in the Old Testament? Job suffered, man. Physical pain, illness, loss of his career and business, loss of family. And there was no easy way out of it for him. He didn't have a choice. And it wasn't a matter of whether or not he had enough faith. This was just where he was. And he had to sit down in the dirt, feel it, and sit there with God and with his friends. That's the book of Job. And figure out what he had to learn while he was sitting there in his suffering. All throughout God's word, we find people experiencing the deepest of emotions. The ones we're not as comfortable talking about sometimes. We don't know what to do with them. But we see the stories of people going through really tough things all the time. And they're doing it well. And we begin to learn that there's a difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. There's a difference between just like a godly sadness versus just this hopeless depression. There's a difference between a redemptive grief versus a hopeless grief. Paul said we don't grieve like everybody else who have no hope. When we go through loss, we grieve differently. Christ in us doesn't remove our struggling emotions, but it helps us experience them in a different way. And we're going to learn about that today. It's called lament. Lament is the biblical prayer language for Christians in pain. Lament is the biblical prayer language for us when we're hurting. It's a language we don't know how to speak very well, but it's important for us to learn about it. A lot of the Psalms are Psalms of Lament. I found this chart I got some new Bible software on my computer, and I'm like, oh, wow, look at this. This is really cool. I'd never seen this before. Seriously, it was about 3 weeks ago, and I'm like, oh, that's super cool. These are all the Psalms. Each circle is one of the 150 Psalms. And the size is how big it is. So like Psalm 119 in the middle, it's that big giant one, you know, about God's word. That's a psalm of wisdom. The yellow ones are wisdom. The green ones are psalms of thanksgiving. The red ones are psalms of praise. Psalm 8 is in there that we looked at. And that huge blue section, more psalms than anything else, are the psalms of lament. Did you know that? I don't know if I really understood how much lament, almost half the Psalms, it looks like, or at least a third, are Psalms of lament. Psalms of taking our pain and sorrow before the Lord. This morning we're gonna look at one, and we're gonna look this morning at Psalm 55. Katie's gonna come and do our reading this morning. She's gonna read Psalm 55, so I'd just invite you to follow along. That's Katie.
Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked. For they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. Lord, confuse the wicked, confound their words, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls. Malice and abuse are within it. Destructive forces are at work in the city. Threats and lies never leave its streets. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God, as we walked about among the worshipers. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive in the realm of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them. As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned from of old, who does not change, he will hear them and humble them, because they have no fear of God. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and deceitful will not live out half their days. But as for me, I trust in you.
Thank you, Katie. Would you mind just pause to pray with me before we dive in and look at this psalm today? Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to look at David's deep emotions. He really poured out his heart. And Father, I'm so thankful that we have a place to go. We have a pathway to come and meet with you when we're going through something really hard. Lord, thank you so much for your grace, your love, and your kindness to us. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes it's helpful to have a pattern to use when we pray. Kind of a process to go through. Do you remember when we looked at the Lord's Prayer? Some of you grew up maybe saying the Lord's Prayer in church. And when we looked at the Lord's Prayer, we saw kind of a pattern in that that can be a model for us when we pray. Like, God, you are great. Your will is more important than mine. Meet our needs, forgive us for our sins, and help us to be faithful. It's kind of this pattern that's built into the Lord's Prayer. So instead of just like reciting it, we can use that to pray. Or maybe some of you have ever used, in a group, have you ever used ACTS, A-C-T-S, ACTS? Do you know what that, have you been in a group that's used that? You're all looking at me like, I've never heard of that before. Yeah? Okay, a couple of you have. You know, like, the first one is adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Yeah. And so you kind of use that as a way of going, hey, let's just adore God for a while. And just pray that. And it kind of gives us this way of having a balanced prayer. The Psalms of Lament have a pattern. They have elements inside of it that we can use when we pray that help us to stay on track with what we're doing. And we're going to look at those today in this psalm. The first one is turn. We turn to God, we turn to him, and we address him. The second one is complain. There it is, you get to complain. Yep, in prayer. In prayer. It's humble, it's blunt, it's raw, And you get to pour it right out at the feet of God. The third one is to ask. Right? Well, God, I'm not just complaining, but I want you to do something about this. I have an ask. I want you to do something about this situation that I'm in. That's part of our lament. But then that fourth element in lament is trust. I turned to God. I complained. I asked. But then I trust him. I don't walk away hopeless. I leave it in his hands. It makes a huge difference. We're going to look at these together. Psalm 55. It's this heart cry of David. We don't actually know exactly what happened that caused him to write this psalm. We get to have some pretty good idea. There were people opposing him. There were friends that turned on him. He was in a really nasty situation. And his heart was breaking. He was struggling. But when he turned to God. Turned to God. Now, don't think that's just like the first, easiest, simplest thing. Because what do we do when we're really struggling or suffering? A lot of people, they'll turn to something else. For some, it's very easy to turn to alcohol. I'm going to drink when I get home tonight. Because this is a really heavy emotion, and that will kind of numb it. Right? Let me phase out. I mean, marijuana is just legalized, right? Hey, got another option to not deal with the reality of our life. Some will turn to porn. Because it's like, if my struggle or hurt is I don't feel validated, I don't feel wanted, hey, I can kind of temporarily soothe that with this fake substitute. We turn to all kinds of things. Sometimes we turn inward to bitterness or anger that festers, and we turn inward, and that doesn't help us when we're struggling. Or sometimes we'll dump that out, and I'll complain to you. You work with anybody who complains all the time? Or maybe you have a family member who constantly complains? They're just turning outward with it and just pouring it out on you. I mean, in that some ways, it feels kind of good to complain about something that's worked. But does it really help? Now you have to carry it too. We turn every time we're in this difficult emotional place. The question is, where do we turn? The Psalms of Lament teach us to turn to God, to turn to him. David started this psalm by saying, "Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea." See, David had conversation with God. He had a rich prayer life. He wrote a lot of our psalms, and we see all this evidence that he had this conversation with God that continued when he experienced a difficult emotion, the pain of betrayal. He turned to God. In other words, he kept his conversation going. He kept the communication with God open. And he turned to him. Sometimes I think we give God the silent treatment. Like, I'll talk to God when I want something, because I know that God is really rich and capable. I'll talk to God, when I need my sins forgiven, because he's the only one that can. I'll talk to God for these things, but when I kind of get below that threshold into these emotions that are difficult for me to understand, I'm going to stop talking to him. And sometimes I've done that before, because when I'm in that difficult place emotionally, I lose some hope. And I don't want to be disappointed, so I'm not going to go to God. Because if I go to God and say, God, I'm struggling in this place, then I'm letting myself have hope again. That God might intervene and help. And if I let God have hope, what if he doesn't come through the way I want? I can experience that disappointment again. And that's too much to bear. The risk of being disappointed again, of being stuck again, is so great, I'll avoid that risk by not even turning to God at all. But God is calling us to put our hope in Him, to turn to Him in our place of struggle. To be able to even take that, God, I'm afraid to hope in you because I might be disappointed. Take that to Him. Let's talk to God about those things. Some people don't bring it to God because they just say, well, time heals all wounds. Time heals all wounds. I don't like that statement. I think it's kind of dumb. Time, what does time do when you get wounded? It leads to infection. So, I mean, you can heal with time, but you can get in trouble with time. You got to be intentional. You got to clean that thing out. You got to nurture it. You got to change the bandage, right? You got to, when we're wounded, time doesn't heal our emotional wounds all the time. Sometimes it's intentional conversation that can help bring healing to us. It's when we take time, lament is our intentional conversation with God about our wounds. Lament is when I say, God, I'm going to talk to you about this thing. It's going to be ugly. And God says, bring it. I can handle it. And we talk to God. And He helps us process through it. So the first element of lament is turn, that we turn to God. And the second one is our complaint. Complaining is me kind of saying, God, I have a whole dump truck load full of things I need to say about this. It's not pleasant, and I'm going to back it up and dump it on you right now. And God's like, you think that's a big deal for me? Bring it on. I can handle that. Let's have a conversation. It's when I come and I bring it to Him and I let Him have it. You know, sometimes this idea of if I'm complaining to God about my life, it must be a lack of faith. I think, in fact, the opposite is true. I think if I'm complaining with God, it actually shows that I do have faith in Him. I'm struggling seeing it played out. Do you look at how the laments go in Scripture? They're like, wait a minute, God, I thought you were loving. I came and prayed, remember last week? I came according to your loving kindness, according to your unfailing love. That's not what it feels like in my life right now. God, I thought you were just. But I'm experiencing injustice in this world, and I don't know if I can handle it. Why is what I believe about you not aligned with the pain and suffering I see in the world around me? If you love me, why don't you address that? If you're powerful enough, why don't you address that? That's what we're doing in our lament. It's because I believe these things about God. When I look at my sinful world and they don't line up, I'm going to struggle with that. It actually represents that you do have a faith and a desire to see it lived out in this world. Does that make sense? God, if you abhor sickness and you came to bring victory over it, why am I sick? Why am I struggling? Why are these things in my life? And if you're honest, as you read it, we see this all through the Bible. People struggling in pain and going, but wait a minute, we have a God who is good and who's kind and who's loving and who's powerful. My life experience doesn't line up with what I believe about God right now. And that's uncomfortable. That's a common place to be. Listen to David in verses 2 through 8. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I'm distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked, for they bring down suffering on me. They assail me in their anger. My heart is in anguish. Within me, terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. This is King David. He's admitting that he's being overwhelmed by fear and horror and anguish. He's the king of Israel. I have to admit, I don't really want to get up here and admit to you the times when I'm struggling, feeling overwhelmed with fear or anguish. But this is an example for us. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. I'd flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and the storm. David's like, I just want to run. You ever felt that? I just want to run. I want to get out of here. This is uncomfortable. I don't like it. And I want to leave. I've certainly felt that. I've had those conversations with God. Don't hide that from the Lord. Talk to him about that. And then it gets even worse, I think worse. David says, verse 12, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it's you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked among the worshipers. David's like, yeah, I've faced hard stuff. I'm a politician. I'm a warrior. I've gone through difficult things. I beat Goliath and all that stuff. But I didn't expect my own friend to stab me in the back. And that hurts, and I don't know what to do. That's what David is bringing before the Lord. Jesus experienced it. He invested 3 years in Judas. And the guy conspired and took money to make a plan to have Jesus arrested and killed. He spent all this time investing in Peter, the loud one who would stand up for him. And then when it came down to it, Peter's like, I don't know him. It's all over the pages of Scripture. Why are we surprised when someone that we considered a friend turns on us? We are, because we give our heart and our trust to a friend. It's hurt. It hurts. It's one of the worst kinds of pain we can experience, to be honest. It's worse when our friends, you know, the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend, but that's talking about like a friend's going to tell you the truth, like this is going to hurt, but it's good for you and we'll walk it together. This is different. This is when a friend actually treats you as an enemy. David said, my companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His talk is as smooth as butter, and yet war is in his heart. His words were more soothing than oil, but they are drawn swords. The old preacher Charles Spurgeon said, he buttered him with flattery, then battered him with malice. It hurts when we know someone has turned on us behind our back. That was David's complaint. And I'm glad it was, because it reminds me that no matter what I'm hurting, no matter what I'm experiencing, no matter the depth of sadness or hopelessness or difficulty, I can bring that before the Lord. And I don't have to clean it up first. I can just talk to him about how I'm doing. As raw and difficult as that is. So we turn to God. We bring our complaint to him. And then we ask. We ask God to intervene. David said in verse 15, let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive into the realm of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them. I thought, wait a minute, what did David say? I got to read that again. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead. God, bury them alive. This sounds... David, you've been watching too many horror movies. For evil finds lodging among them. David is using this, it's called an imprecatory language. It's this asking God to bring justice against those that are hurting him, against his enemies. Is that raw or what? But now Jesus talked about how we should view our enemies, right? We looked at that. Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for those who are hurting you and persecuting you. And he said, and if you hold hatred in your heart toward somebody, you're murdering them in your heart. What do we do with that? And David, take him by surprise, God, and bury them alive. The difference is, if David had held those thoughts in his own heart as his own, or used his power as king and warrior to do that, which he could have. He could have taken his enemies by surprise. He could have buried them alive. That would be evil. Well, what did he do with that? What did he do with those thoughts? What did he do with where his heart was? What did he do with it? He took it to God. And he said, God, this is how I feel about it. But he's turned to God. He's complained. He's like, God, this is how I feel about it. I'm actually asking you to do this. You are a God of justice. You are one who sets things right. This is kind of what I would do if I were you. You ever had a prayer? I've prayed like that. God, if I were you, this is what I would do. I'd do this right now. I wouldn't even delay. I wouldn't have to think about it again. I'm serious. I've prayed that many times. But to take that and give it to God is an act of faith. To say, God, I actually trust that you can bring justice better than I can. Here you go. Here's what I would do, but I'm giving it to you. To ask God for something means I'm letting God control the answer. I'm not manipulating or controlling an answer. What we do with that, I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm letting him have it. Big difference. It's a big difference. And, you know, that's trusting in God who is just, God who avenges wrongs. It's also trusting God who is kind and who shows grace and doesn't give us everything our sins deserve. I'm trusting my enemy to that God, too. To God who might actually show kindness. We saw the struggle in Jonah. Jonah's like, I don't know if I want to share Christ with the Ninevites, because if they repent, you might not punish them the way I want you to. So he held it inside, and that became poison to him. David's giving it to God so that God can do what God does, and David can be free. That's what lament does with us. It lets us take this place of pain and struggle and sit with God and give it to God and release it to God so that we can heal. We turn to God, complain and ask, and then we trust. We trust him. David says, starting in verse 16, as for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening and morning and noon, I cry out in distress. Have you ever felt that? Like when you're down there emotionally, it doesn't leave you. You don't get a break. You can't schedule it. Evening and morning and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. He rescues me, unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. God, who is enthroned from of old, who does not change, he will hear them and humble them because they have no fear of God. He's giving his trust to God. God, I entrust this situation to you. And he wraps up the psalm saying, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. It's just like what Jesus said. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, you will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful will not live out half their days. can see he's still kind of hanging on, like, to what outcome he wants. While he's giving it to God, this is a process. He says, but as for me, I trust in you. Lament processes our pain so that I take it from the spot that's going to actually end up just hurting me, and I end up walking it out with God, letting God be God, drawing closer to him. We can trust him. Even when it's something so deep in our heart, we can trust God to shepherd our heart through the most difficult situations. Amen? So here's what I want you to do. Sometimes I give you an assignment. This is a big one. This is not a language we speak often or are very familiar with, so we need to practice. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to write a lament. I want you to use the four steps. I want you to write out, turn, like talk to God about turning to him. So you're going to write it to the Lord, address it to God. Lord, here I am. I'm struggling. And then complain. Ask him for stuff. You don't have to sit and think, well, what's a nice thing? How do I say this nicely? Really? Just put your complaint, your ask out there, and then talk to God about how you're going to trust in him. I'd like you to write it. It can be a couple of sentences to a paragraph for each one of those. This doesn't have to be long. It's not a book. But write it out. And then I want to tell you why, or what. It's not just, you can write it on your own to practice. It can be a good way to journal, by the way, when you're struggling. Use these four elements of lament. But what I would like you to do, if you would, is I'd like you to email it to me. Email it to me today, tomorrow, or Tuesday. And so if it's got like a personal, like, Steve is bad and I want you to take him out, right? I don't need to know about Steve. But your own heart before the Lord, practice giving it to him. And here's what I'm thinking, if you're game. If you would send your lament to me the next Sunday, I'll pick from those and we'll read some of these laments and just lament before the Lord together. Would you do that? Would you come next Sunday? So send that in. We'll pick that. If I'm like, I might see one and go, oh man, would you be willing to read that? Or I might go, let's just stack some of these and have somebody read them. I'm not 100% sure yet what that will look like. But I think it would be pretty neat to see us practicing these together. We'll open the word again, but we'll spend some time writing our own prayers of lament and sharing those. So that's your assignment. That's a big one, and you have a time limit on it so that we can plan. But I don't want you to be surprised. Oh, Patrick used my thing in church on Sunday. But that's what I'm thinking. I think that would be a meaningful time. You know, God calls us to bear one another's burdens. And this is about how we give our burden to God. We can do it together by using biblical lament and by listening to each other's hearts as we do. So this morning, before we worship again, we're going to pause for communion. And there's communion elements up here. There's bread that represents Jesus' body that was broken for us, and a cup that represents his blood that was poured out for us. And we're going to pause as a family and take communion. And this week, the way we'll do it is, Coley's going to start to play, and then just come up and take yours and come back to your seat, and then you can just take that on your own and then join in worship. But communion this morning, as I think about it, communion is a lament. Communion is it's a tangible lament that we actually eat and drink. Because we're thinking about Jesus, who poured out his life, who chose a path of suffering before his Father so that we could be forgiven and healed. It's by his wounds we're healed. So we get to participate in lament with Jesus together as a family in these next moments. So participate first in Jesus' lament, and then you can work on your own.